Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
This is Jesse from Club Venus from Stardom, and you're watching Stardom Cast.
Guys, and welcome to the Stardom Cast, your weekly audio source of all things World Wonder Ring Stardom. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin, and I am joined as ever by Mr. Matt Turner. Matt Turner, how are you, good sir?
I'm good, my man. I know we talked about 20 minutes before we hit the record button, as we are getting so close to Philly Mania, literally about a week and change away from you getting off the plane over here into the States. So it's vastly approaching, but it was a busy weekend, a busy week ahead as we're getting ready for Easter. And it's nice, the sun is actually shining, because 2 weeks ago it was in the 70s, and then last week it was in the 20s and 30s with some snow flurries. So I always say Mother Nature undefeated. But my man, I'm blessed. I'm excited for the topic we're talking about today. How's everything in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, not too bad. So I'm on Easter break now from my job, which is ace. It's been quite nice to wake up and not actually have, you know, to rush around and do all that sort of jazz. So yeah, it's a good time. I am currently drinking something that has just made its way to the UK, something called Mango Tango. We only have three flavors because we're British and we're boring. I know that America have about 400 different flavors of every single drink, but Mango Tango has only just come over to the UK. And Matt Turner, it is the absolute worst. It is horrendous. I can almost feel the sugar dissolving the inside of my mouth. But am I still drinking it? Absolutely, I am. But apart from that, everything is good. I'm excited for Philadelphia. As we record this on the Monday, we are just over a week removed from what is going to be an absolutely chaotic couple of days in Philadelphia. But today, we're focusing on something else chaotic. And that, my friend, is a Natsupoi retrospective. And what a time to do this as well, Matt Turner, with the Murder Pixie herself just having returned from injury.
Yeah, you're not kidding, my friend. And that was a great segue. I'm very proud of you. That was very well done. Yeah, it was nice going back watching these matches. I know we watched these five-star matches, you know, most of them live, and then once they went up on Stardom World, which, touche, Stardom World this past weekend, doing a live stream of the show. So really seemed like they're upping the production quality. Obviously, we'll talk about that on the weekly show. But it was nice going back and watching these eight matches, and just Natsupoi just absolutely tore it up in the five-star Grand Prix, pretty much solidified herself as a main eventer. It was just a shame that she happened to get in. She was injured, you know, pretty much the last few matches, and really gutted out in that last match against Tam Nakano, and we'll talk about it. But, you know, she's back healthier than ever. She looks like she's ready to rock and roll. Had a great return match teaming with Seriano to take on the team of Chihiro Hashimoto and Sari. And hopefully it's onward and upward for one Natsupoi. But I know I had her as the MVP of this five-star Grand Prix. I know you did. And I know a lot of our listeners, the friends and family of the Stardom Cast, had her as the MVP as well from this tournament.
Yeah, it was a strange tournament, really, just in general, because obviously, you know, it was the longest tournament Stardom have ever done. You know, in many ways, the most ambitious tournament Stardom have ever done. But you know, it was also a cursed tournament in just how many stars went out. If you're to believe the internet rumor that we've pretty much had confirmed now that Saya Kamatani was supposed to win the tournament, she went down on the first night and didn't come back till, what, December? We had Utami go down with a neck injury towards the end of the tournament. She didn't come back till December. We had Starlight Kid go down with an ankle injury. And then, of course, we ended up with Natsupoi going out from the very next night after the five-star Grand Prix, the 1st of October, I believe. That Korakuen show was her final match until March. So it really was a cursed tournament. But one thing that really was sort of a shining light in this tournament was Natsupoi's performances, especially, you know, those first five or six matches where she was just on fire. You're absolutely right. You know, by the Amisori match and especially by the Tam match, which credit where credit is due for gutting that out. And it's only because we've got the power of hindsight, really, that it becomes obvious that she is really, really struggling. But this tournament as a whole is an MVP performance from Natsupoi. And you can actually hear, as this tournament goes on, the support really permeating for Natsupoi. It's, she's very, very popular and someone that I've really missed on the modern day roster, Matt.
Yeah, and one great thing about these tournaments, especially the last 2 years in 2022 and 2023, obviously the person going over the most in the tournament is the one raising the crown at the end of the tournament. And then the person that loses in that main event match, you know, we had Tam in 2022, we had Momo in 2021. They get a nice shot in the arm as well. But you look at what Hazuki did in 2022, she did not make the final, but she was pretty much a lot of people's MVPs in 2022 and someone that solidified herself as a constant main eventer. And that's what Natsupoi did here in 2023. You know, now that Soriano has signed that long-term contract with Stardom, we know that they don't have to take the Wonder of Stardom Championship off her right away. But at the same time, if Natsupoi does win it at the big show and the end of April, you know, for All-Star Grand Queendom, if she defeats Soriano, I don't think anybody would complain, because Natsupoi, she was always like right there, you know, always right there, always so close to that championship over the last few years. But I think a lot of people now say that she's ready to go whenever the time is, you know, Soriano's time is up to when, again, Soriano's fantastic, whether it's in a month or whether it's 6 months. I think that everybody would buy Natsupoi, not only as the Wonder of Stardom champion, but also someone that would can main event a pay-per-view against Micah for the red belt. But she's ready made to go. And then something else too with Natsupoi in 2023, not only did she have this fantastic year in the five-star Grand Prix, she also won the Artist of Stardom Championships with Kairi and Soriano as part of Restart. And also her and Soriano as Sayoripoi, as we call them, they did win the Goddess of Stardom Championship. So even though Natsupoi ended the year on the injured shelf, and you know she's back now, she did have a really stellar year in 2023. But even though that she did win two championships in this year, I think her biggest accomplishment was just solidifying herself as a main eventer coming off this tournament.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to get into the blocks in a moment. And you look at her block, and red block was arguably the harder of the two blocks to call. We'll get into all of that in a moment, but just a little brief sort of background in terms of Natsupoi and the five-star Grand Prix. For those who are brand new to Stardom, five-star Grand Prix is effectively Stardom's version of the New Japan G1 Climax, a two-block round-robin tournament where the two winners of the blocks face off in the final, with the winner then going on to face a champion of their choosing. Ordinarily, it is the red belt. However, there have been a couple of examples in the past where people have gone on to battle for other belts. Io Shirai in 2014 and Mayu Iwatani in 2018 are the notable examples. Mayu going for the white belt and Io going for the Goddess of Stardom belt, both unsuccessful as it transpires. But in terms of Natsupoi's performance, the Murder Pixie started her journey in the five-star Grand Prix back in 2021, meaning that the 2023 tournament will be her third tournament. Her tournament best was 12 points the year before in the 2022 G1 Climax. I'm going to keep doing that. The five-star Grand Prix.
Could be Tanahashi in the opener, right? Tanahashi in the opener. She had that hard-hitting match with Ishii in the final.
Absolutely. got rolled up by Tori Yano, because that's what happens to everyone. She finished with 12 points. It did only get her eighth in the block, because that was the year when Stardom decided they were going to put everyone and their dog in the tournament. That did leave her with a record of 6 wins and 6 losses, with her all-time five-star singles record at this point, before heading into the 2023 tournament, being 10 wins, 10 losses, and 1 draw. It is worth noting that until this year, until 2023, or going into 2023, Natsuboi had never had a winning finish to the five-star Grand Prix. She was always at evens coming out of the tournament. Now, Matt, you mentioned a little bit of how 2023 had shaped up for Natsuboi just before we headed into the summer, July 23rd, the first night of the five-star Grand Prix. But in terms of 2023, it had been a bit of an up-and-down year for Natsuboi. As you'd already mentioned, Matt, she won the Artist of Stardom Championships for a second time, alongside Soriano and Kairi as restart. They took them from prominence at All-Star Grand Queenum in April, only to lose them just over a month later to the Barry Bombers. She, alongside Tam and Saki, made it through to the semi-finals of the inaugural Triangle Derby, where they would ultimately lose to the God's Eye team of Siori Mirai and Ami Sori. She was eliminated in the first round of the March's Cinderella tournament after drawing in the opening round with Mina Shirakawa. That sort of parlayed its way into getting Natsuboi a white belt shot at Mina's championship, which she would ultimately come out on the losing end of, failing to capture it from Mina in Fukuoka in May. And then in July, she lost an Indian strap match with Siori in July, but this forged a friendship which was based on respect. The pair would form a tag team, and the pair would actually go on to win the Goddesses of Stardom titles from Rose Gold right in the middle of this tournament in August. So, Matt, a pretty up and down year for Natsuboi and for Cosmic Angels in general, I think.
Yeah, it really was. But again, she was able to capture the gold twice. And it really looks like, again, as we're doing this podcast, it's the end of March. It looks like the Cosmic Angels, for where they were 6 months ago to now, is completely different, because they almost basically pulled an Oedo Tai. It seems like every other member of the roster is now part of Cosmic Angels. So just amazing what a few months can do, you know, can change for the professional wrestling scene.
Absolutely. Let's get into this five-star Grand Prix then. So it was an 18-woman tournament. No, it wasn't. It was a 20-woman tournament. What am I talking about? Basic maths, Rob. 2 times 10 is 20. 2 blocks of 10. Natsuboi was drawn in red block alongside Mayu Iwatani, Suzu Suzuki, Starlight Kid, Hazuki, Natsuko Tora, Sai Kamatani, Ami Sori, Siori, and Tam Nakano. And whereas in the blue block, you felt that it was a straight shootout between Julia, Utami, and Micah for the victory, I felt when the blocks were drawn, I don't know if you felt the same, Matt, that this block was a lot harder to call in terms of who was going to go through.
Yeah, it was kind of tricky. I was wondering, you can never count out Sherry. You know, it's always good to maybe put her or Mayu getting towards the finals, even though I know the two of them have won the tournament before. Obviously, my heart was tied up between Hazuki and Saya Kamatani when we made our predictions. Obviously, Saya went out in night one with an injury and wouldn't come back until after the tournament was over. But yeah, it was really tough to call. And then it even got tougher as Natsuko Tora was almost running away with it within the first three or four shows of this tournament. So it really made for something that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, Saya Kamatani did go out. I think there was rumblings at that point, even at that point, that Saya Kamatani was handily placed to win the tournament. Obviously, she went down after night one in the main event of the Ota Ward City Gym show against Tam, which really did open up Red Block to a whole host of possibilities. And the block was really briefly turned on its head. You were absolutely right, Matt, because halfway through the tournament, night 12, Natsuko Tora was on top of the block unbeaten with 12 points, and Natsuboi was in second with 9. So, you know, ahead of Mayu, ahead of Siori, ahead of Tam. So the tournament really was wide open at that point. Then, of course, you take out the fact that Starlight Kid went out and then Utami went out, and this tournament could have really gone anyway. But let's kick straight into Natsupoi's tournament. We start, well, she started on night one, the 23rd of July 2023 from Ota Ward City Gymnasium in Tokyo. And this would see Natsupoi have a winning start to her five-star Grand Prix, moving to 2 points by defeating Starlight Kid with the fairy magic in 7 minutes and 23 seconds. Matt, a high-speed start to the tournament for Natsupoi and Starlight Kid, and this was low-key, even though it was one of the shortest matches on the card, was, in my opinion, one of the best matches on the card. Very, very exciting between two women at the very peak of their powers.
Yeah, they went in and basically it was almost a rehash of their feud from 2021 and 2022 for the high-speed championship. And the one awesome thing about this match is, you know, Natsupoi has a lot of ways she can beat you. You know, she has the fairy gift. She has the fairy strain. She has the fairy ring and then the fairy blink, which to me, I don't know how humanly possible that she can do that. And in this one, she wins with the basically the Lamahi Straw Cradle that rolls and rolls and rolls called the fairy magic. So not only does Natsupoi get a win in night one and is off to a great start getting the 2 points, not only does she defeat her off-again and on-again rival in Starlight Kid, but she does it with basically a newer move. So now it's like, as us as fans, we're looking at this as like Natsupoi can really win any match with any different way to defeat you. And we saw that with Julia the year before. I believe she won every single match in the tournament with a new move. So now we're kind of looking at it as, okay, well, Julia won the entire tournament last year with a new move. And now Natsupoi, who rarely does, you know, she does have some quick pinfalls here or there, but not this fairy magic where she just keeps rolling you and rolling you and rolling you in the Lamahi Straw Cradle for the three count. So I really enjoyed that aspect of the match. Yeah, again, 7 minutes and 23 seconds of don't blink and you'll miss it. A really nice back and forth match, but it was nice, you know, Natsupoi was able to escape the Black Tiger pile driver. And that set her up for the fairy magic. A really good match to start off this tournament for Natsupoi. I had it at 4 stars.
I had it at 4 stars as well. I think what was nice about this match is, you know, we know that Natsupoi is very ingrained in that high-speed style. And you look at who she had in this tournament, and you'd argue that only this and the Hazuki match later on in the tournament really showcased that high speed style of Natsupoi. And even the Hazuki one, they sort of integrated the high speed style alongside some real violence, which we do expect, of course, from Hazuki nowadays. But this, I felt, was more of a straight high speed match, and it was unrelenting as well. And props to Starlight Kid, because Starlight Kid, I believe, was actually wrestling this match with an injury as well, and you couldn't tell. Absolutely launching herself to the outside with the Acai Moonsault, which she does better than anyone else in Stardom. I gave it 4 stars as well. A perfect start for the high speed fairy. And I think what's good with the fairy magic is with the fairy blink, she has to get up on people's shoulders, and I feel like that can look quite convoluted, especially the more if you do it in every single match. If you're doing it against someone large like an Amisori, who's quite tall, or Natsukatora, who's quite naturally strong and broad, it's not as bad. However, I don't feel like you can get up into the electric chair position on the back of someone like a Starlight Kid, who I think is only 4'11". I don't think that works, Matt. So I think the bringing in of the fairy magic just offers that different dimension as well. So she's not desperately trying to lock in this incredibly complicated fairy blink on someone that might not be the best base for it. Moving on to night three, though, away from my musings, it's the 30th of July now, and we are at the Konosu Municipal General Gymnasium in Saitama. And in your main event, Natsupoi moves to 4 points, defeating Suzu Suzuki with the fairy strain in 9 minutes and 6 seconds. Of the entire run, Matt, that we're going to be talking about with Natsupoi, would you argue that this is perhaps the biggest shock in terms of the tournament between this and the match that we're going to be looking at in a moment from Akiyama?
Yeah, I think so. Especially, again, you look back at it, that the fact that Suzu won the whole thing, and Suzu, very much like last year, got off to a slow start. She gets off to a slow start here. So it was, again, she was able to I'm going to go toe-to-toe with Suzu Suzuki. And I watched this match again as soon as it came up on Stardom World back in the summer of last year. And I haven't seen it since maybe about a week or two ago when I was going back watching these matches for this podcast we're doing right now. And I remember like the first minute or so, they're like chain wrestling. And I'm like, I don't remember this. I remember getting it out of hand. I'm like, oh, there it is. Obviously, Suzu is known for her brutality. And Natsupoi is a reason why we refer to her as the murder pixie, because she doesn't look like someone that'll take your head off. But then once she really gets going, she can absolutely take your head off and some. And they really get into a nice, brutal exchange. And Natsupoi goes shot for shot with Suzu Suzuki in this one. And then really she's able to hit the three spin kicks and then that low spinning kick that she just, she goes around in one spin. And she really looks like she takes your head off and then is able to hit the straight jacket German suplex called the fairy strain for the three count. So if you would have told me that Natsupoi defeats Suzu Suzuki in this one, I figured it'd be the fairy blink or the fairy magic. But the fact she was able to go, you know, kick for kick and forearm for forearm, and then dropping Suzu on her head for the win. Again, it's another wrinkle in the game of Natsupoi that we're seeing just in the second match in this tournament against a bruiser like Suzu Suzuki. All in all, I thoroughly enjoyed this one. This was another really good one and a good way to send the fans home happy, as this was the main event. As you alluded to just a minute ago, partner, I gave this one 4.25 stars.
Yeah, it's another 4 stars from me. These two found a really, really good groove. And you're absolutely right. I didn't really expect the early chain wrestling that we got. And actually, aside from the Suri match, which we're going to be talking about in a little moment, Natsupoi doesn't do a great deal of the chain wrestling throughout our entire tournament run. But here, that's how they started, and then they upped the brutality. And the theme that is going to be developing throughout, especially these early matches, is Natsupoi's selling ability, because she's such an unerring babyface. Like, there's no way you could ever turn Natsupoi heel. But because she's just so... You have to support her. You feel like an urge to support Natsupoi. She's a great, endearing babyface. The way she sells is perfect. She sells getting beaten up better than just about anybody in this tournament. And there's this match, there's the Suri match, there's the Mayu Iwatani match, and even the Tora match as well, where she flings herself into absolutely everything in order to make her opponent look good. And the way she's able to sell the suplexes off Suzu is fantastic. But Matt, is there anybody better in Stardom with a surprise German suplex than Natsupoi? Because there's no way someone of her size should be able to throw people the way she does. It takes me by surprise every single time. And I love the fact that the match that we're going to be talking about in a bit with Tora, that's sort of built around the fact that Tora is slightly too big for the suplex. But the way she explodes into that suplex against Suzu really, really excites me. I think it's a really, really good move and a really surprising move from Poi. What do you think?
Yeah, and also I've never seen any wrestler ever in my fandom do this before. But when you do a German suplex, you either do the bridge or you do the release. But regardless, when the person doing the German suplex, they take the bump. She does a version of the German suplex where she bends all the way back in a bridge, but she never leaves her feet, which is just insane. And it's safe, too. I remember the first time I watched that years ago when I first started gotten to start. I'm like, there's no way that can be safe. And I rewound it. And every time that she's done it, she is landing her opponent safe. But just goes to show you just the core strength that she has and the leg strength that she has, that she can throw a German suplex, a safe one, and one that looks very violent, very vicious, and again, safe, without doing a bridge. And obviously she does the version where she does the bridge and the release, and then again the straight jacket with the fairy strain. So not only does she do the German suplex so well, but she has so many different variations of them. Again, considering the fact that if you were, and again, our friends of ours that are going with us, my friends that are going with us to the Stardom show, they've seen very, very little of Stardom. Oh, I just thought about Natsupoi's not on the show, at least not yet. But I was going to say, that's somebody that's like, wait, do you see this girl throw a German suplex? They would look at me like I was nuts, because she has got one of the best German suplexes in the game. So yeah, it is very surprising that somebody of her stature can whip a German suplex like that. Again, probably a lot of planking over there in the Stardom dojo, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's a testament to core strength, I believe, as well. So, yeah, definitely, even if you're not a Natsupoi fan, and if you aren't, how are you not? her suplex is certainly something to watch. We then move on to what is unashamedly my match of Natsupoi's run. We are talking, of course, about night six, the 8th of August 2023, inside the beautiful KBS Hall in Kyoto, in front of the beautiful stained glass window. Natsupoi moves to 5 points by moving to a time limit draw against Tsuri, 15 minutes, and boy, howdy, did Natsupoi find her groove in this match, Matt.
Yeah, not only is this the match of the tournament for Natsupoi, but you can make an argument that this is her best match ever. You know, the Mina match for the Wonder Belt from earlier in 2023 is up there. Obviously, the Saya match from February 2022 for the Wonder Belt is up there as well. But you can, if you were to ask me just off the top of my head, what's your favorite three Natsupoi matches, those three would be one of them. And this was great. And I remember when we did the podcast, because it's this match and then the next match that we reviewed on the same podcast, because the Mayu match is 2 days apart. I remember saying that I liked the Mayu match better. And I was very much in the minority, but I watched these two matches back to back. And obviously, we'll get into the Mayu match in a moment. But I was like, no, I like the Tsuri match just a little bit better watching it back a second time. Because again, Tsuri, she's the most legit wrestler in Stardom. You know, again, we say it all the time. She's got the MMA background. She's got the kickboxing background. Former Queen of Pancrase. I mean, just a legit badass. And nobody takes those Spinal Tap kicks better than Natsupoi. Literally the point where, like, Tsuri kicks Natsupoi. I don't know how she does it, but then she winds up sliding, like, a foot closer towards the ropes, which is just kind of scary and eerie. But I like how now, because now we expect it, because we've seen it so much in the singles matches and the tag matches and the multi-person matches, that now Tsuri will go for the kick, and Natsupoi will duck. She'll duck again, and then she'll be also proud of herself, and then Tsuri would just boot her. It's like, I just think that's the same thing. All right, I dodged one, I dodged two. I'm great. And Shiri's like, I'm not done. But these two, considering the fact they're kind of contrasting styles, you know, you have Natsupoi with the quick covers and the high-speed style, and you have Tsuri with the more brutality with the kicks and the submissions. They kind of have two different styles, but they always mesh so well, which you even see with Tsuri and Izumi as well. I mean, they have a very, very low key, one of the best feuds, you know, in the history of Stardom. And that just is a credit to Tsuri, how good she is. She can adapt to these different styles. And this is no different, but this one is fantastic. And really around the 11, 12 minute mark, they really start building towards like the falsies. Is Natsupoi going to win with the fairy strain? Because that gets teased. Is she going to win with the fairy magic? Because that gets teased. Again, a match she won in the first match, and a match that she won in the second match. That gets teased. Is Tsuri going to win with the vermilion world? Because there's a great escape here, because I think Tsuri hits like a buzzsaw kick, and then she hits the Ruin. Again, the Ruin, the move that she defeat Momo with to win the 2021 five-star Grand Prix. And then she sets her up for the Vermilion World. And then out of nowhere, you see Natsupoi with a Ferial Blink. And it was like, what a great falsie, because everybody bit on it. Tsuri does a great job not looking at the referee, which, you know, I'm a big fan of those falsies, not looking at the referee and going through the cadence. And then the crowd bites on it, and everybody bit on it. Even the point when Tsuri kicks out a 2.999, Natsupoi, who has very underrated facial expressions, was like, are you serious? Like, how? I thought I had you there for those 3 seconds. Then eventually they wind up going back and forth, and Natsupoi again escapes the Ruin, hits the Ferial Ring for a two count, and at that point the time expires. 15-minute time limit draw. It does not feel like 15 minutes. This is a fantastic match. Definitely one that I would love to revisit with you, partner, on an alternate commentary sometime soon. This is as perfect as it gets. So close to perfection. If this maybe got another minute or two, I would have gave it the full 5 stars, but this was 4 3/4 stars for me. This was great going back and watching this a second time.
Yeah, it gets 4.5 from me. Fantastic match. And it just adds another string to Natsupoi's bow and shows that she can hang with main event stars. And she is so much more as well than just high speed. And that's really obvious here, because especially in those last 3 minutes, like you mentioned, Matt, the pace is ramped up exponentially. It really does feel like both women are throwing absolutely everything at each other by that point. And it's the emotion in Natsupoi especially, When the bell rings, she's hit the fairy ring. It looks like she's going to get the victory. And Shuri just kicks out and then the bell rings. You can see the frustration in her face. She's pounding the mat. She knows that she could have really, really proved herself here, but couldn't quite get the job done. And the fact that she's able to go toe-to-toe with someone as proficient as Shuri, and I'm not necessarily saying that Natsupoi goes out there and starts throwing kicks and strikes. No, not necessarily. However, with her speed, she gets a significant amount of really, really good close near falls. And having already beaten Starlight Kid, already surprised everyone by beating Suzu Suzuki, you half expect Shuri, who, you know, doesn't, she rarely loses, very, very rarely in terms of singles matches. But you sort of think, God, Natsupoi's going to do it here. And that's the beauty of this partnership. I feel like they have that together. Again, 4.5 stars. My match of Natsupoi's run. But it is very, very closely followed by the match we are going to talk about next. And that is from Night 7. The 10th of August, 2023, the Okayama Convention Center in Okayama, Natsupoi moving to 7 points, defeating the icon of stardom herself, Mayu Iwatani, with fairy magic in 11 minutes and 8 seconds. Matt, you said this used to be your favorite run of Natsupoi's run, and I can see why. This was incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah, again, don't get me wrong. This match was absolutely great. I actually enjoyed it more this second watching than when I watched it when I first came on Stardom World. It just blew my mind how much more I enjoyed Shuri versus Natsupoi. Again, I watched these matches, literally sat down back to back, and yeah, what a joy that was. But there, if you remember, there is a spot in this match that got gift to death on social media where Mayu, and obviously we're big fans of Mayu. We've seen majority of her matches in Stardom, if not all of them, because we're crazy. But she loves to use that super kick not only as an offensive move, but as a defensive move to maybe set up for certain moves that she does. And she's getting into that part of the match where you understand Mayu's psychology. And she goes for the super kick, and Natsupoi is just a little bit quicker. And she hits the spin kick as Mayu's throwing the super kick and catches Mayu in the back of the head. It was like the timing from both Mayu. It's not only the timing, the positioning for both Mayu and Natsupoi to hit that as perfectly as they did. I mean, just goes to show you what a great talent both Mayu and Natsupoi are, because it just blows me away. The match, you know, Mayu, obviously a former high-speed champion. Obviously, she has not challenged for that belt in quite some time and probably never will for obvious reasons. But it's nice that when she starts some of these matches with an Izumi, with a Meisera, as we see now, with a Natsupoi or Starlight Kid, she'll go back to a little bit of her high-speed roots to start the match. And that's where this one starts. And then we get into the dives from both of them. Then we get into the big bumps and whatnot. And then we get to the striking, the back and forth, stuff like that. I thought was really good. Mayu hits this brutal tombstone onto Natsupoi and then hits this crazy buzzsaw kick. And then you figured, okay, that's usually what she does. I mean, we've seen Mayu, again, earlier in the year, use the tombstone and a super stiff buzzsaw kick. And then the moonsault followed by the dragon suplex to defeat Mercedes Moné, the two-step dragon suplex to defeat Mercedes Moné for the IWGP Championship. And you figure that's where it's going. You know, she hits the tombstone, she hits the buzzsaw kick, she goes for the dragon suplex, the two-step dragon suplex. However, Natsupoi is able to get out of it, trip Mayu up, and then surprise her with the fairy magic for the three count, which I thought was great. Again, this match was terrific. And the fact, I would love to see them, if Mayu retains against Sari at the end of April, I would love to see maybe Natsupoi be the next challenger for the IWGP Championship. Maybe saying, hey, you know what? I want to challenge you next. I defeated you in the 5-star Grand Prix. I really couldn't follow it up because of my injury. I'm back. You don't have any more challengers. Because I would love, again, 11 minutes, 8 seconds. They had time to tell their story. But again, if this got 13 minutes, 14 minutes, 15 minutes, I think it would be even better than this match. Again, especially when you're putting a bigger stake on the line, like the IWGP Women's Championship, instead of 2 points in the 5-star Grand Prix. I would love to see these two run it back because these two have great chemistry. Again, I like the Shuri match just a little bit better, but this one is great. I had this one at 4.5 stars.
Yeah, just a shade under 4.5 for me. I thought this was really good fun. It's another in a growing list of examples of Mayu underestimating her opponents and finding out because of it. There are several moments where she can put the match away and doesn't. or takes too much time. You know, case in point being the Tombstone Piledriver, where she pauses and pauses and pauses before hitting the move. And I think these two are another great example of fantastic chemistry, because we get, you know, both women are former high-speed champions. We do get some really good high-speed exchanges, especially when they're reversing kicks. It was very similar to the chemistry that Mayu had with Kagetsu when they used to reverse kicks and block each other's striking moves. But there was such good control in that speed. You know, it can get to a point where the speed looks a little bit messy. However, the way these two women's timing was utterly flawless, summed up by that spot you were talking about, Matt, as Mayu turns around to hit the superkick and Natsupoi catches her in the back of the head. Just immaculate, immaculate timing. The fact that it was won with a roll-up makes perfect sense, because Mayu could have won this match, probably should have won this match, and ultimately only has herself to blame that she doesn't win this match. I'd argue that between these two women, no one in Stardom throws better exhaustion super kicks than these two. Natsupoi's injury ruined a lot of things for us. The tag run for Sioripoi, a Meltier reunion, but most importantly, I think, you know, the entire end of this match where Natsupoi is saying, "Hey Mayu, I beat you, you know, you were my hero, you still are my hero, I got massive respect for you, I beat you, I beat the IWGP Women's Champion." Very clearly, we were heading towards a Natsupoi and Mayu program. Now, when that was going to be, you know, whether it was going to be Natsupoi in the Mina spot at New Beginning or not, I don't know. But the injury put a kibosh on that anyway. I agree, Matt. I would like to see them revisit that, because whenever Natsupoi has been given the nod, you know, you look at that white belt match, even as far back as 2021 against Tam, fantastic match. The white belt match with Saya Kamatani, fantastic. With Mina, fantastic. Anytime she's given the nod, Natsupoi delivers, and this is another example of her delivering. I would love to see 16, 17 minutes of Natsupoi versus Mayu Iwatani, really getting to a point where you can build to that furious crescendo between the pair. Yeah, fantastic match. My second favourite match of the run by some distance, in fact. We move on to night 12, the 27th of August. And before, this was sort of my problem with the tournament as a whole, Matt. And obviously, you know, there's no accounting for Saya Kamatani's injury, because between the 10th of August and the 27th of August, this was where I presume that Natsupoi was due to wrestle Saya Kamatani. I think it was the 15th she was supposed to wrestle Saya. However, even at the 15th, there's 2 weeks then between Saya and Natsupoi and this match here that we're talking about, Natsukatora and Natsupoi. And it just felt like it was hard to invest in people's tournaments or in people's tournament runs, because for lots of them, there was such vast gaps between matches. Or even like Natsukatora, I think, had wrestled all of her matches by like the end of August, and then wasn't in five-star action again until the final on the 30th of September. Was that something that bothered you, looking back on it, Matt? Or is that something that sort of you just came to accept?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Remember Chuck Norris? The man so strong that he birthed an entire category of jokes about his unparalleled strength. We all have a favourite joke, right? Chuck Norris can do a wheelie on a unicycle. Some people are afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris makes onions cry in the evergreen. When Chuck Norris does a push-up, he's pushing the earth down. Have you ever wondered what happened to him? Well, I recently saw a video of the now 84-year-old Chuck Norris, and let me tell you, he still looks like he can beat the sun in a staring contest. He says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition. In fact, he still says he feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has more energy than an Azumian Starlight Kid high-speed match. Many of us, myself included, do not include the necessary fruits, vegetables, and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. And it's a lingering problem for a lot of us. And actually, I don't mind telling you that my stomach feels like it's been on the receiving end of a Hazuki pump kick on more than one occasion because of it. However, Chuck Norris has made a special video that explains how he has incorporated these things with just one simple product. And you can watch it now by going to mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. It may change your approach to your own health. Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. And now, back to this week's episode.
Yeah, he's kind of come to accept because the last few tournaments were a little bit like that, nowhere near as spaced out like this, but obviously we just got the tournament schedule about a week or so ago, so they're definitely fixing it. They're, you know, 2 weeks in between matches, but that's not going to happen because the whole tournament this year is all going to be done in 3 weeks. So we'll it'll start in August and end at the end of August. So they'll wrap it up in a nice bow. Again, sometimes you have to learn from your mistakes. Again, it was a great tournament. A lot of people came out of this injured, and I think this is the reason why a lot of the wrestlers were complaining, and rightfully so. So that's something that obviously the new brass at Stardom has taken an account for, and they are going to fix their mistakes with this tournament in 2023 only being 3 weeks. So yeah, it kind of takes me out of it a little bit, especially when I'm doing these reviews for especially this, the 2023 five-star Grand Prix, where you're literally like, no, there are no match in that tab. No tournament in that tab. And then you're like, wow, there's literally 6 or 7 dates that I went through on Stardom World where Natsupoi did not have a five-star Grand Prix match. So yeah, it kind of, especially not only that, but when you're building somebody up in the tournament, especially with the psychology of them using certain moves and going back to it, you can almost forget, like, wait a minute, did they use that match in match one or match two? And you have to go back and, you know, through some of your notes. So you can throw it off for a little bit. But again, it's going to be interesting to see with the shorter tournament coming this August. I think that they're going to fix that big mistake.
Yeah, definitely. With a 21-day tournament, I feel like there's very, very little room for extended gaps. However, an extended gap is what we got. The 5 nights between night 7 and night 12 saw both Natsukatora and Natsupoi get a relatively long break. We end up at the Kiramaki Minato Hall in Fukui, which saw Natsukatora, who at this point was completely unbeaten, inflict the first tournament loss to Natsupoi, who remained on 9 points. Don't forget 9 points because she got 2 points by way of forfeit from Sayakamitani. Tora gained the victory with a swanton bomb in 12 minutes and 24 seconds. This match, Matt, was completely different to everything else in the run, but still incredibly good fun.
Yeah, it really goes to show the range. Again, not only just Natsupoi, but Natsukatora working a completely different style. And I liked how this match starts. Like, as soon as the bell rings, you figured Natsukatora, part of a Uedo Tai, they usually do the Uedo Tai jump. You know, the match goes all throughout the building. That's kind of the Uedo Tai formula. And for the most part, it works. But this one, as soon as the bell rang, Natsupoi just explodes with a handful of drop kicks, and Natsukatora tries to retreat to the outside. Natsupoi tries to quickly follow up by going for a dive, and Tora cuts her off and then slams her onto the apron. So you're like 60-70 seconds into this match, and we see Natsupoi with a bunch of drop kicks and then getting body slammed off the top rope onto the apron for her troubles. So I thought that was a really cool spot. Obviously, Natsukatora does a great job from the Kagetsu playbook of blinding the ref, going for the miss. Again, I think Natsukatora is the best working heel in all of current day Stardom. Just an absolute badass and a great bruiser. But I liked how that Natsupoi is able to counteract the mist with a whiskey misc. I thought that was really cool. There was a one spot where it was almost like the Street Fighter fireballs with Ken and Ryu, where they kind of took each other out. I thought that was really cool. And then there was the one spot where Natsupoi ducks another miss attempt, hits the whiskey misc, a spin kick, a German suplex, and then she hits two Ferial Gifts, which I thought when I watched this match again, when it came on Stardom World, I stayed away from spoilers, which would have been a great finish. You know, she ducks the big cheating move from Tora, and again, the ref gets pulled out. Tora pulls the ref, goes to the mist. Natsupoi ducks, hits the whiskey mist. And again, hey, Tora, she cheated, but you're the one that pulled the ref. So it was just like how you kind of came back to bite her. And it looked like that would have been the finish. Again, you're a really cool spot with Natsupoi German suplex, Natsuka Tora, and then hitting the two Ferial Gifts off the top rope. Back to back, I thought that would have been the finish, but Tora kicks out. Tora comes back with a big lariat, sit out DVD, and then eventually she's able to put out Natsupoi with a Swanton bomb. Again, this one got a little bit of time, a little over 12 minutes. I thought this was a great match. Again, two different styles, with Natsupoi doing the more high impact, the flashier offense, where Tora just being a badass bruiser. But they made it work. And again, the whole gimmick of Tora with the mist almost coming back to bite her. But in the end, she's able to take the onslaught that Natsupoi gives her and is able to come out with the win. You know, we said this on the podcast, Rob, last year when we reviewed this whole entire tournament, that Natsuka Tora, even though she didn't win the tournament, she's somebody that got elevated very much in the tournament just by the way she was able to run through a majority of these wrestlers in the field. And Natsupoi does a great job putting Tora over here. A really, really good match, kind of one that gets lost in the shuffle of how good this five-star Grand Prix was. But this is one that I recommend for everybody to go and revisit. Excellent stuff. 4.25 stars for me.
I give it 4. I just like the fact that there was two very distinct stories. You had the comedy of the mist versus the whiskey, which coincidentally I was a big fan of the fact that they were calling back to the historic crossover show and Uncle Nobu, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, trying to sully Natsupoi by giving her that whiskey. And she's clearly grown used to that whiskey, because back at Historic Crossover in November, she was not a fan, Matt, not a fan at all. However, here she's willing to dig down and sort of drink through the pain, should I say, to get a leg up on Tora. There was that story. There was obviously the story of Natsupoi repeatedly attempting to German suplex Tora until she's finally able to do it. Everything seems to be going Natsupoi's way, but see, in a nice little metaphor for Natsupoi's tournament, she sort of runs out of steam towards the end of the match. And Tora, by this point, who is 6-6, isn't going to miss an opportunity like that. One big move, it was all it took. And then obviously the Swanton bomb to finish. And ultimately, I think that's the start of the decline for Natsupoi, because she starts off those first four matches like an absolute house on fire. And actually, you look at it and go, okay. Not only are you asking Natsupoi to continue this pace for the entire tournament, which is grueling in itself, but also she's built up this head of steam and then had 12 days off. So actually, Natsupoi getting back into the groove of things, it's ultimately cost her. And I do like that little story that seems to continue throughout the rest of this tournament, because unfortunately, despite a fantastic start to the tournament, things go downhill fast for Natsupoi. It's not immediately alarming. She's still in the running for a tournament victory, for a block victory at least. However, Tora now has the block tiebreaker over Natsupoi, which obviously is a terrible, terrible thing if you're a Poi fan. We move on then to night 15. We're now into September, the 16th of September in Fukuoka Island City Forum in Fukuoka. And unfortunately, Natsupoi is sort of receives back-to-back losses, having lost to Hazuki via a vertical drop brainbuster in 12 minutes and 29 seconds. Suzuki, of course, who had a completely contrasting tournament to her 2022 tournament, had an absolutely woeful start and was in need to win every single match to be in with a chance of securing the block. And Natsupoi run afoul of that, Matt.
Yeah, and these two, we mentioned how Shuri and Natsupoi, completely different styles. Tora and Natsupoi, completely different styles. These two have very similar styles. They start this match out with the high-speed stuff back and forth, obviously, Hazuki and Natsupoi, both former champions of the high-speed division. So they start there, and then they get into their violence. Now, don't get me wrong, Rob. I enjoyed this match. However, I did like their match in 2022 a little bit better because Hazuki really just boots the crap out of poor Natsupoi. But Natsupoi really brings it back to Hazuki here. And they have a really great back and forth, you know, in this match because, again, Natsupoi has a lot of tricks in her arsenal, as well as Hazuki. You know, Hazuki has the Hazuki straw. Obviously, she's got the Hazuki driver. The Brain Buster is her go-to and the Senton as well. So it was pretty much a 50-50 match going back and forth. And then it really looked like Hazuki was going to put Natsupoi away. She was hitting those bicycle kicks. And then, as we call Hazuki mode, where she just forearms you to the point where it looks like that her opponent is out cold. And then it looks like Hazuki's going to put Natsupoi away with the Brain Buster. However, Natsupoi is able to get out, hit the fairy magic, and then for a two count. And then Hazuki, when she kicks out of the two count, tries for the Hazuki straw. However, Natsupoi is able to kind of block the Hazuki straw, and the two of them go back and forth with these 2.9 counts, which you can, if this was a championship match, you would figure it's going to end in a big move. But since this is the 5-star Grand Prix, you know that, especially in the middle of this tournament, you know that anybody can get a quick pinfall. So not only did I, but pretty much everyone in the building, they've been on every one of these near falls towards the end as they're blocking, you know, the Hazuki straw and the fairy magic. So I thought that was a really great piece of psychology as we're getting towards the end of this match. And maybe a rib on the ref. Every time that I see these back and forth two counts, as we're like 10, 11 minutes into this match, I think it's a rib on the ref to blow the ref up. Again, we've seen Natsupoi do it. Azumi does it all the time, Starlight Kid, and Hazuki as well. Finally, eventually, though, we do see the fairy ring for a two count, which is, again, another quick pinfall that a lot of people bid on. When Hazuki kicks out of the fairy ring, Natsupoi turns around, which she does. She's hit with a pump kick, Hazuki's foot right into Natsupoi's face, and then she hits the Brain Buster for the three count. Again, I really, really enjoyed this one. Their match in 2022 was low-key a favorite match of mine from that tournament. This one was still really, really fun as these two have great chemistry together. And I would love to see these two paired up sometime again soon for a major singles program, maybe for the Wonder Belt. Fingers crossed, maybe for the Wonder Belt sometime in the next 8 to 12 months. 4.25 stars for me, sir.
We can but dream, Mr. Matt Turner. We can but dream.
I'm a dreamer, buddy. I'm a dreamer.
I'll be honest. I thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match. I enjoyed the high-speed opening, you know, just reminding us that Hazuki is one of the best high-speed wrestlers to ever do it. And then, of course, it just escalates into full-on violence, which we know that Hazuki has rather a Pashan. A Pashan? No, that's... she likes it. Is what I'm trying to say. she enjoys that high speed panache. Is that the word I was looking for? A panache?
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Pistachio.
She has a pancake for it. No, like, you know, to then see Natsupoi trying up her game to match the violence of Hazuki really was quite good in this match. And obviously, ultimately, she hasn't quite got that same level of brutality that Hazuki has got. Of course, Hazuki, of course, buoyed by the fact that we're in Fukuoka, her home city, you know, the hometown support. I feel like it was all just a little bit too much for Natsupoi, and she ultimately succumbs to her second consecutive loss. Again, all is not lost, Matt Turner. All is not lost. Victories against Amisori and victories on the final night against Tam, results going her way, could still see Natsupoi go through to the 5-star final. However, it all came crashing down. Night 18, the 18th of September, just 2 days removed from the Hazuki loss. KDDI, Ishin Hall in Yamaguchi. Amisori got just her third victory of the tournament, defeating Natsupoi with the Like a Thunderbolt in 10 minutes and 4 seconds. Natsupoi remained on 9 points and ultimately could not progress. Matt, it was a disappointing end to the tournament, but I thought this match, even though I would perhaps argue this is the weakest match of the tournament, there's a couple of things that I'd like, you know, I think it was a brilliant sort of disparity between absolute power and the pace of Natsupoi. And I text you earlier today, I think this is the first time you get the impression that Natsupoi is really, really struggling. Because if you watch this match from the very, very outset, she is carrying her left arm very, very strangely. Now, obviously, Natsupoi's injury was a neck injury, and you can see she's sort of flexing her fingers, trying to get feeling back into that arm. She's not using the left arm where she doesn't have to. It's with sort of hindsight and looking back on it, it's a real shame that Natsupoi's tournament came down to this. However, even in spite of that, even in this, you know, in spite of Natsupoi struggling, in spite of the injury she clearly has, I thought that her and Amisori still put on a really, really, really good match.
Yeah, this was, again, when I went back and watched these, I was kind of looking through what matches were what, and I remember this one kind of being the weakest of the Natsupoi's run. And I went back and watched, and I was pleasantly surprised how much I really, really enjoyed it. And if you do remember Amisori's run in the 5-star Grand Prix, this is at the point where she's really starting to come into her own. I remember when we did this full review, we did say, even though Amisori at this point, you know, she comes into this match with 4 points, obviously because she hits the like a thunderbolt, comes away with 2 more points. Easy math tells me 4 plus 2 is 6. I do remember saying that even though Amisori didn't hit double digits in this tournament, she really felt like she had a lot of momentum coming out of this tournament. And then we would see it in the later months in the fall when she would have that fantastic match with Micah in the tournament to see who was going to go on to Dream Queendom for the vacant World of Stardom Championship. And now Amisori, again, I mean, just last week she was in the finals of the Cinderella tournament. So they definitely have plans for Amisori moving her up the card. And you see in this match, again, she was on an absolute roll, even though she wasn't winning a lot of matches, having great matches with Mayu, great matches with Sherry, great matches with Tora, you know, Starlight Kid, so on and so forth. But this was an easy story to tell. Like, Natsupoi comes out of this match, she tries to start out really fast, and Amisori's like, nope, and just starts chopping Natsupoi. It's basically, you know, Natsupoi is trying to dodge everything from Amisori to try to get away from her strikes. And then once Ami's able to kind of close the distance, she's able to hit her with the chops, the lariats, the forearms, putting her in the torture rack. But that one really, really cool spot where she's in the torture rack and Natsupoi is able to kind of float out and go into the armbar. And we've seen her do that a few times before. I would like to see her bring it back from time to time because it's such a really cool spot. But yeah, I mean, you can really see Natsupoi, God bless her, she's really gutting through this match. She really is. And again, that's a really good performance from both Natsupoi and Amisori. And I think Ami knew going into the match that Natsupoi wasn't 100%, and she does a great job being able to tell a simple story but still getting a lot out of the match and protecting Natsupoi. But ultimately, it is the like a thunderbolt for the 3 count that puts Natsupoi away. Again, I really enjoyed this match, going back and watching a second time, 10 minutes. But again, this one broke the 4 stars for me. Again, I had it 4.25 stars. I really, really enjoyed this one.
I had it at 3.5. And that's not to say that this was a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. This was a really good match. And I think the more Amisori came into the tournament, the more you could see her growing in confidence, because you look to that early red block lineup, you know, you've got Siori in there, you've got Mayu in there, Suzu Suzuki, you've got Tam, you've got Natsupoi. And suddenly you're sort of thinking, well, where do Amisori's victories come from? You know, and then it becomes a case, well, okay, you're going to lose a couple of matches, but how are you going to lose? And we talk about it all the time, don't we, about it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. And I think Amisori gave a great account of herself. We saw Hannon do the exact same in 2022. And I think here, ultimately, she was able to channel everything that she'd learned in this tournament to eventually get the victory over, admittedly, a very battered and broken Natsupoi. But Natsupoi did really channel the 5 rules of dodgeball, didn't she? Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge. Because she did do everything she possibly could to stay out of range of Amisori. But ultimately, power wins out over speed here. Again, Natsupoi's tournament, you know, not in a bad way, it's the story that they're telling. Natsupoi's tournament sort of just runs out of steam at the crucial moment. She started like a house on fire, but that pace that she was wrestling at, you know, you look at that first match, you look at that match with Starlight Kid, and it was furiously paced. You know, the Mayu match, the beating she took at the hands of Siori. No person, no matter how good, how strong, how resilient you are, is going to be able to withstand that and wrestle at that pace consecutively. And ultimately, Natsupoi wrestled so well at the start, so quickly at the start, and eventually all of the injuries and all of the punishment and everything that you know, she's had to sort of endure over these couple of months have eventually caught up with her. We saw her. She could have had the victory against Amisori. We thought she was going to have the victory against Amisori. She could have had the victory against Tora, but couldn't quite get the job done. However, I thought this was great for Amisori. I think this and Ami's victory over Siori on the final night were really the coming out moments for Amisori. And I think you're right, Matt. You know, you've only got to look at what she's done since to see that Bushiroad and Stardom are really, really high on Amisori. And she's done extremely well. She's improved tremendously, you know, in a faction where you've got Siori, who is the undoubted star. You've got Mirai, in whom they put a lot of their hopes, you know, back-to-back Cinderella winner, white belt winner. But with Mirai leaving, this could be the moment for Amisori to really, really step up. I'm excited to see what is next in the career of Amisori, because it's going to be very, very interesting. Moving on then to the final night, night 22, the 30th of September 2023, at the Yokohama Budokan in Natsupoi's home prefecture of Kanagawa. And Natsupoi would come face to face with her meltier partner in crime, Tam Nakano. And she'd go on to beat Tam in just 10 minutes and 54 seconds with the fairy strain, moving to 11 points. So this was ultimately the block final for Red Block. Tam could have reached the final. Natsupoi was the only person to stop her. She did. And Matt, again, despite obviously gutting through this match, I thought she gave a phenomenal account of herself again.
This was great. And I remember going back and watching as we're getting towards the end. You can see Natsupoi, you can tell that she's definitely injured. And Tam, there's a one point in time where they kind of stop and Tam kind of checks on Natsupoi in a kayfabe way to see if she's okay. And they're able to continue and finish what was a phenomenal finish of the match. But I love how this match started with these, again, former tag, current stablemates, former Goddess of Stardom tag team champions in Meltier, and they know each other all so well to the point where they're literally counting everything in the beginning. And it's Natsupoi that's able to kind of get the first blow on Tam, and then she goes for that low basement dropkick. Eventually, Tam moves out of the way. Natsupoi goes to the floor, but then Tam goes for a dive, but Natsupoi knows what she's doing, and then Tam misses the dive. So I thought that was a really, really cool spot, how they're kind of going back and forth, trying to one-up each other in the beginning part of the match. But these two know each other all so well that nobody can really get the advantage. There's that one part when Natsupoi is just eating German suplexes, and then Natsupoi goes for the, Tam's throwing German suplexes on Natsupoi, setting up for the violent shooting. And when she goes for the violent shooting, Natsupoi drop kicks Tam out of the way. I thought that was a really, really cool spot and a really, really cool timing spot from the former tag team champions. At this point, you know, again, Natsupoi, she's throwing the German suplexes, but she's not throwing them all the way over her head. She's kind of going off to the shoulder for a little bit, and you can just see the pain in her face that she's really, really gutting this out. But I really like the finish. The finish basically sees Tam finally, again, she misses that first violent shooting because Natsupoi isn't worn down enough. She's able to hit the dropkick, but eventually Tam hits the tiger suplex. She hits not one, not two, but three violent shootings for a two count. She goes to put her tag team partner away with the violent screwdriver. However, Natsupoi is able to escape and gets the fairy magic for a two count, which I thought was a really, really cool falsy. And I think a lot of people expected Tam, who at this point is the World of Stardom champion, to kind of make her comeback and put Natsupoi away. But Natsupoi stays on Tam Nakano. She hits that low spin kick. She hits a tiger suplex onto Tam, which is weird because that's a move that Tam likes to use. Then eventually she hits another pair of those brutal spin kicks, and then wraps up Tam Nakano in the fairy strain for the three count. Really great story. And again, the fact that Natsupoi gutted her way out, you know, I guess like 6-7 minutes into this match, you can see she's in a lot of pain, but she does a great job of just sucking everything up. And Tam is there to kind of protect Natsupoi to make sure that whatever they were doing towards the finish would be as safe as possible. So kudos to both Tam and Natsupoi for this one. I absolutely love this match. Loved it even more on the second watch along that I did a few weeks ago. I had this at 4.5 stars. I thought this was a great match and a great way to finish the tournament for both Natsupoi and Tam Nakano.
Yeah, I really enjoyed how we were playing the game of, right, well, we know each other really, really well because we've teamed together loads, and we're just going to keep reversing each other's offense. I thought, and, you know, sort of knowing what's coming, you've got the dive to the outside, for example. I thought they did that really, really well. I think towards the end, Tam did a very, very, very underrated job in sort of just nursing Poi through those final couple of moments, because just before Nats Poi hits that tiger suplex, you can see there really is a moment where Nats Poi is really, really struggling, and I think she's holding a neck and a back, and I think you can just look at her and go, yeah, she's a good seller, she's not that good. And that's when you sort of realize, oh yeah, okay, maybe something's a little bit off here. However, again, another brilliant example of chemistry, Nats Poi and Tam Nakano. And Matt, the injury ruined a red belt match for us, a potential red belt match between Nats Poi and Tam. Who knows, in an alternate dimension, we could be talking about the retrospective of Nats Poi's World of Stardom Championship reign. Who knows? And we were robbed of it. I'm devastated.
For now, it still could happen, my man. It still could happen. She just came out with that, as we record this, I don't know if you've been on the Twitterverse, but they just released a Nats Poi satin jacket. Very much like the Arn Anderson Tully Blanchard jackets from the 80s.
I have seen it. Yes. Are you going to get one?
Considering the fact of how much money that I get as soon as we get off this, I told Rob, as soon as we get off this podcast, they're probably dropping about another grand on Stardom stuff for WrestleMania weekend. So I don't know, my man. There's a reason why I have multiple jobs.
It's a good job. It's a good job. Jeez. Ultimately, you know, that brings us to the end of Nats Poi's run. 8 matches. I thought there wasn't a single match that you can afford to miss. I thought of everyone in this tournament, I thought Nats Poi was the most consistent. And in a tournament where we were craving some stability, we were craving some consistency, Nats Poi was that consistency. You could rely on her to have these fantastic matches, to have different matches. Because you look at the Siori match, that's completely different to the Starlight Kid match, which is completely different to the Tora match, which is completely different to the Hazuki match, which is completely different to the Tam match. And that, for me, is the earmark of quality when you are doing, you know, singles matches over and over and over again. Can you keep the audience's attention? Can you wrestle different matches? It's all very well being a fantastic wrestler. Unfortunately, in Stardom, 99.9% of the roster are excellent wrestlers. That's not going to be enough. Have you got enough to capture the audience's emotion? And Nats Poi did it again and again and again and again in a variety of different ways. My only negative, and this is nothing to do with Nats Poi, obviously, is the injury, because the momentum that she built in this tournament, you know, the potential IWGP Women's Championship matchup with Mayu, the potential World of Stardom matchup with Tam that we were robbed of because Nats Poi needed time off, that really, really, really was a sour note to end this tournament on, because for me, this is one of the great 5-star tournament runs, Matt.
Yeah, and even the tournament as a whole was great. It just happened to be there'd be so many injuries. But yeah, Nats Poi, a lot of people's MVPs, mine and yours as well. But yeah, there's really not one match that you can kind of say, you can kind of skip it, especially the fact that when you watch it in the order that we just went through, it's really nice to see the progression of Nats Poi. And again, especially the fact that you can appreciate the toughness of the Murder Pixie going into those last two matches, you know, one again with the match with Ami Sori, who's been obviously a bruiser, and then that match she has with her tag partner and friend, and one Tam Nakano. It makes you just appreciate things more, that with everybody bowing out of the tournament because of injury, she very easily could have said, like, I'm not fit, I can't do these last two matches or this last match with Tam. Obviously, the doctors have started, you know, if she got checked, she was clear to do that last match with Tam. But I don't think, going back watching these matches, if we would have thought, oh, you know, she had a forfeit that last match against Tam, I don't think any of us would have been disappointed because of just how banged up she was. Ultimately, though, she completes this tournament. She does take time off, and we're so glad that she's back in Stardom, and it looks like she's fully recovered.
Yeah, absolutely. She came back with a bang with that Cinderella tournament final match with Sari and Chihiro Hashimoto. Absolutely tremendous. So, ultimately, in review, she ended up tied in third with Tsuri on 11 points behind Tora and the eventual block winner, Suzu Suzuki, who finished the tournament on 12 points. She finally came out with a winning record, 5 victories, 3 losses, and 1 draw. For me personally, she had an average match rating of 4.09, which is not to be sniffed at all. In terms, Matt, of these 8 matches, what was your ranking?
Okay, so I have these 8-1. Do you want me to go 8-1, or you want to go 8? I'll go 8. You want to go back and forth, or you want me just to go straight through my list?
I want you to go straight through your list.
Okay, number 8 was, again, every match was really good. Number 8 was Natsuko Tora. Number 7 was Ami Sori. Number 6 was Starlight Kid. Even though Starlight Kid had the lowest rating for me at 4 stars, I think it's just because the match was a little bit short. But at the same time, I liked how it's the first night, the opening night of the 5-star Grand Prix, and I really liked the finish of the match. So that's why, even though Tor and Ami were 4.25 for me and Starlight Kid was 4, that's why I had Starlight Kid at number 6. Anywho, continuing on the climb, number 5 was Suzu Suzuki. Number 4 was Suzuki taking the bronze medal. At third place was Tom Nakano. Number 2 was Mayu, and number 1 was Shuri.
A very solid ranking, good sir. A very solid ranking. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. You are, of course, completely wrong, but that is your opinion.
I was like, I hope he says that I'm wrong. What a guy.
Again, just echoing Matt's sentiments, just because, you know, there has to be an 8 out of 8, doesn't say anything about these matches. All of these matches are really, really good enough for something completely different. The 8th match for me was Ami Sori. 7th was the Suzu Suzuki match. 6th, I actually had the Natsuko Tora match. I really enjoyed the chemistry between her and Poi, and I think it brought something completely different out of Natsu Poi. Starlight Kid at 5, I'm a sucker for a high-speed match. 4 is Tam Nakano, and then roughly the same as you, Matt. 3rd is Hazuki. 2 is the Mayu match. And then in number 1, firmly in number 1, it is the match with Tsuri. A fantastic, fantastic run for Natsupoi. And finally, the last thing really, Matt, is if you were to give this run of Natsupoi a letter grade, what would you give it?
Oh, A+. I mean, she's the MVP of this tournament, and there's a lot of great wrestlers in this tournament. Mika, Mirai, Mina Shirakawa, Suzu Suzuki, Mayu, Shuri. A lot of these wrestlers had phenomenal. Again, I know when we look back at this tournament, you know, think injuries. Just that negative aside, there was some fantastic matches in this tournament, and a lot of these wrestlers had fantastic runs. And the fact that Natsupoi was my MVP of this tournament, I'd feel bad if I didn't give her anything less than an A+.
Yeah, I gave her an A. Like I said right at the start, and as I echoed to, you know, right at the end, she was the stability we craved during this tournament, and it was something that you could switch on. You knew that it was going to be a fantastic match, and she delivered without fail. I thought she was absolutely tremendous, easily the tournament MVP this year. And I hope, obviously, coming into towards the 2024 5-star match, if it's to come in July, which it is, I think. Oh, no, it's August, isn't it? So we're still 5 months away, but I'm hoping that Natsupoi gets another good run in this tournament and maybe gets that white belt match against Tsuri Anno. Who knows? But that just about brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much to you guys at home for listening. We cannot do this without your support. If you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you'd like a free way to support the podcast, leaving us a 5-star review and a comment really, really does help us be exposed to even more people. Don't forget, you can tune into our Patreon, patreon.com/thestardomcast. We can join for as little as $1 a month, where you'll get every episode early and ad free. You can find us on social media at The Stardom Cast. You can also talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. You can find our YouTube at The Stardom Cast as well. Matt Turner, it's time to say bye, Poi.
Oh, you set me up, my man.
Look at that.
Look at that. What a guy. Folks, he's ready for Philadelphia. He's ready for cheesesteaks. He's ready for pizza. He's ready for beer, especially the Stardom Cast beer, which will be available at the Stardom Cast live podcast. Only 10 cases are available. I think we pre-sold 4 or 5 already. So if you cannot make it to the live Stardom Cast podcast and would like a 6-pack or a case of our beer, please let me know ASAP because we are expecting it to sell out by the end of the night or by the time I have to fireman's carry Rob back to my car and then have him take an hour nap because then we're watching GCW at midnight. But anywho, roundabout way of saying, folks, we got to be up early for the we got to be up like 5 hours after that for the the big start of meet and greet at WrestleCon. But anywho, questions, comments, anything that I can do for you, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. You want to shoot me an email, perfectly fine as well. thestardomcast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email. Folks, if there is a retrospective you would like myself or Rob to do, whether it's somebody in the 5-star Grand Prix, Cinderella tournament, Goddess of Stardom tournament, just let us know. It is now on the free feed, basically just a way of saying thank you to all the fantastic listeners of this podcast as we are, I can't believe I'm saying this, as we are so close to 1 million downloads. That's insane. Did you ever think when you started this 4 years ago that you would be sniffing 1 million downloads, Rob?
I did not, no. No, I am inherently negative, so I assumed that like just the Stardom Cast would have died a death by now.
And I'm the complete opposite, my man. Hopefully some of my good juju rubs off on you in Philly. So, but anywho, again, folks, don't forget to keep supporting Rob's book, Chasing the Dream. I feel terrible. We're an hour in. I didn't even give you a cheap plug. Chasing the Dream, 50 of Stardom's Greatest Matches. It's a fantastic book. There's so many people that that have tagged Rob on social media that they have picked up the book. And I'm sure Rob greatly appreciated it because he put his heart and soul into it. So greatly appreciate your support. Like Rob said, folks, bye, Poi. Can't do this the show without you because, like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast because we're all together and everybody's different, everybody's special.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.